they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And it is a blessing to be in God's house this morning, the last Sunday in April. And it is a beautiful sunny day today in Santa Clara, California. And we're looking to the Lord to do some wonderful things. We welcome our church family, we welcome our guests, and we welcome our online family as well. It's going to be a great day. Thank you for joining us. And let's pray and ask God to meet with us today and in this service specifically in a special way. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for your love, your mercy, your grace, your goodness to us. Lord, you're worthy of our praise. And I pray that we truly would be stayed upon thee. May we find that peace and rest we've just sung about. And I pray, God, that you would anoint this service with your presence. Lord, meet with us in a real way, a tangible way. Speak to us through every song, the congregational, the special, the choir. And then, Father, as we open your word, as our pastor delivers your word to our hearts, I believe we continue our series in Colossians 3. Use him mightily this morning as he proclaims your word. Draw the lost to salvation. And Lord, I pray that we would leave here more like Jesus. And may you receive the glory for what you do. For we ask these things in his precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing.
God, what a promise to the saved. How about song number 349, please? Down at the cross where my Savior died, glory to his name. As the choir joins us, we're singing 349 on the first. And down at the cross where my Savior died, down where repentance came from sin, I cry, oh, there to my heart. first, on the second.
I am so wondrously saved, promised. Jesus, the sweetly of my willing, there at the cross, yes, hold to his grace, now glory to his name, glory to his holy heaven, there to my heart was the love.
properties, and thank you for being in church today. Great crowd. This property is filled. These buildings have refilled. The other property is packed with the Spanish ministry and the bus ministry, and we're grateful that you're here. Brother Model from Orlando, we're glad that you're here, one of our dear listener friends, and appreciate you on a business trip coming to church here today. And Brother Mrs. Lico back home from Nevada, glad to have you here as well today. The Stricklands are right over here. Now, I can't remember, you're in the South, and shake your head yes or no. Georgia? No. Alabama? There you go. And welcome to America. We're glad you're here. Good people, good people. Thank you for being here today. And Brother Reimers over here just sang. He is in our class. He manages our class and heads it up. Ms. Treber and I teach that class. But he and his wife are the ones that have organized the two committed couples class. And we've split off another class out of our class, and that's the Brazilian Bible class. And many of them are sitting here today. And I tell you what about how they are. Many of them don't even understand what I'm saying right now. But they want to be in church. Now, Sunday school, we've taken them out of our class. And he teaches. And Brother Thiago, who was saved here 7 years ago on Easter with his wife, he interprets. Well, you're all over here today. I'm looking over here. Some are over here too. But he interprets. And the Brazilian class. Now, here it is. Have you ever heard of Fogo de Chaves? Is that what it's called? That's Brazilian, right? Now, you're not welcome. But after church today, you're not welcome either, Brother Martinez. No, after class, after church this morning, they're going to have a barbecue right here on this property. You're going, aren't you? You're not going. You've got another activity. But the Brazilian class is just, this is the third Sunday. They had today adults, 25 Brazilian adults, plus children, that's 40 in class today. Their kids are another class. Some of the children don't even speak English, just got here. But they've been led to Christ, many of them in Portuguese. Would the Brazilians please stand up right there? Yes, El Stando, please, oh. There we go. Woo, look at them everywhere. Yeah. Yeah, wonderful. We are so, these people are the best. I love them so much. And it's just such kind people. And you're to be commended, Brother Thiago and Natalia. Amen. Where are you at? Would you stand? This is their teachers with the teacher. Amen. And his wife. Give them a big hand. Good. Oh, my goodness. It's so wonderful. Dr. Narula, you're here somewhere. Your sister's visiting. I don't know where you are. Other visitors, we're glad you're here. Let's get the bulletin out real quickly. And as you pass out the bulletin, ushers, balconies, good crowd up there, lower floor. Would you make sure that you raise your hand if you need one? You can read it for yourself. I would say service tonight at 6 o'clock. Amen. Oh, I tell you what, if you're going to choose this morning's message or tonight, choose tonight. But now that you're here, just come tonight, today too. God's really dealt with my heart about the amazing truth from the Word of God tonight. And I really believe we need it. Maybe not today, I hope today, but put it in your heart. You're going to need it. I promise you this. All positive. It's going to be encouraging to you. You know, I got looking recently about all the bad on planet Earth. Just discourages me. And so I looked up. God gave me a message, not looking here, but looking there. I'm really excited about tonight, and it'll be a wonderful time together. Tonight, I need to see all the college faculty and staff at 5:40 in room 204. Brother Romero, you'll be with the choir. Next Sunday night, this side, all of this, we'll have two choirs here next Sunday night. 125 in this choir, 125 in this college choir, church choir, about 40 or plus instruments in the orchestra, and we're going to have two choirs sing together, and it's the last Sunday before our young people graduate, and we look forward to having two choirs sing. Where are you going to go to hear 250 voice choir? And so it's next Sunday night, 6 o'clock, will be a blessing. You'll see all the activities, many class activities and things of that after church today and tonight. And I hope you remember that. We're looking forward to a good offering today. We've done real well the month of April, this second quarter. The first quarter, we missed it every Sunday, the general, by about 10,000 a Sunday for 13 Sundays. This quarter, we're making it up, little by little. And I hope that you'll keep giving faithfully. I just want you to know that it's amazing what this church does. And it's amazing how you give. But this is not time to let up. Summer is around the corner. My public schools are in till generally the middle to the end of June. So we still have April, May, and June. And then there's vacations. And I guess we get this idea. We need to go on vacation. And the truth is you probably do. But I want you to really pray with us that we'll get that little bit of deficit. Missions is doing well. Thank God for that. Our schools, they're surviving. And thank God for that. Through the President's Club, you saw a couple of the vans running today. Brand new two 2024 dual wheels in the back, which is better for stability. I'm going to get out on the road here a week from Thursday. We got several vans out with the college groups going all over the country from the east to the west, north and south. We'll be in camps. We'll be in churches. We'll be in revival meetings. We'll be in Sunday services. And that'll be all great. Mother's Day is on the 12th of May. It's just a couple weeks away. I attended the service yesterday of a 36-year-old mother. She came to our college for 2.5 years. And I preached in Long Beach this week. Her little boy was there, 9-year-old. Lost both parents. And he was there. And then I went to the funeral, and he was there in Sacramento yesterday. I don't know when God's going to take your mother. But this could be very, very possible the last year you have your mom. And I say this every year. I want us to go personally and this church way over the top for mothers. She who rocks the cradle rules the world. Mothers, we cannot do without you. And this church, we always try to make Mother's Day special. I'm going to try to go way over the top for you. Just really special. We need you. And men, all speak in kind tones to your children's mother. And love mama while you have her. And many of us don't have a mother yet alive. And yet the days we had her was a blessing. And you train your children. Most of your children are out of here this hour, so I can say that. You train them to make a big deal for mother. There ought to be a real special breakfast, whether she doesn't eat it. Maybe it's just Danish and coffee and juice and fruit. You make it good for mother. And lunch is your responsibility, Ralph. You make it big, and you wait on mama. Amen. Let her do the dishes. But no. You do the dishes. It's not hard. You know that china plastic? Yep. That's what you want. You treat her well. Yep. And you write her notes and have the kids write notes. It's an amazing thing. In 1962, I made my class in school. We made pottery for our mothers, and mine was the worst in the class. It's awful. I was so embarrassed. It was just terrible. And when my mother, I never knew she kept it. They moved out of a big 4-bedroom house. She took that with her, and that's in her little apartment over here on Lick Mill. And they moved to another apartment, smaller, and she took it with her. Then they moved to a nursing home. And the night she died, that's basically all she had left was that little piece of junk. I said to her, "Mother, why are you taking this everywhere you go?" She said, "It's one of the most special things in my life." Oh, you love your mama. Amen. You love her. Why? I saw that little boy yesterday. I saw him in Long Beach this week preaching down there. And he's got a long road ahead of him without parents now. You be good to mother. I hope that you will. Ushers, please come. I love you folks so much. I appreciate you. For you that are visiting, we're in the book of Colossians. We began there on the first Sunday, January 7th, and we're working our way through. And today we're in Colossians chapter 3. and we'll pick it up with another subject. Our Father, thank you for the privilege to give today. May we be very generous. The work of the ministry needs your people to give from a free, loving heart, free will offering, your word calls it. Help us to tithe and to give and to go beyond as we're able. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus, my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. With numberless blessings each moment he crowns, and filled with his fullness divine, I sing in my rapture, oh, glory to God, for such a Redeemer as mine. When clothed in his brightness, transported I rise to meet him in clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I'll shout with the millions on high. Shadows a dry, thirsty land. hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand.
Praise the Lord. When I get to heaven, I'm going to be able to sing like that. That is great. Your Bible is Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Oh, I'm so thankful you're here today. You know, every Sunday morning as I speak to this great crowd and our listeners that are watching, I want to give us the best I can with the power of God, something for that week, and something for our life, and something to build character into us. We've been looking in the book of Colossians, the church at Colossae, and compromising Christianity. And what they did, they had their Christianity. They had God. They had this verse that Paul, this is Colossians 1:18, that in all things he may have the preeminence. We chose that in 1976 for this church. And it's a great verse. But Paul was trying to remind them, don't waver. But the church at Colossae merged those little gods with the God. And whenever you merge gods, the God of money, the God of success, the God of industry, the God of business, the God of pleasure, the God of fun, the God of all those things. These false gods that look so appealing. When we begin to merge that with true Christianity, you always destroy Christianity. Amen. Somehow we think, one of my laymen said this to me a few weeks ago, somehow we think that it's business life, career life, you know, business, career, family, church, and God. It's just the opposite. God's preeminent. Christ, Colossians chapter 3, verse 4, Christ who is our life. Amen. Our life should revolve around the Bible, the things of God, the house of God, and our family, and this just takes care of that. Business. We live in a different day. We think we're doing God a favor if we show up about once a week for just a few minutes. Christ, who is our life, on Tuesday, on Thursday, on Friday. These Brazilians are so amazing. At this point, most of them don't even understand me. And maybe we can figure out how to put you in a section where Brother Chiaco can sort of talk very quietly or whatever and get it. But they're here. They're coming to this country. They want something. And they need something, and they need this church, and they need you to befriend them and love them and pray for them, pray for their families, just to let them come in and go out. But may I say this? Last week we saw the destruction when you elevate gods, small letter G, over God, you destroy the home. Last week we saw in chapter number 3, verse 18, you help me with the second word every time. Wives, verse 18, chapter 3, verse 18. Wives, husbands, children, fathers, provoke not. That's the whole. I showed you five things last week of the written 1786 by Gibbon. The rise and fall of the Roman Empire. Number one was the family. But Rome gave themselves over to other gods and idols. Any country, any nation, any city that ousts God destroys themselves. That's what we're doing in America tonight. Today, we're destroying ourselves. Why? Boot Jesus out. Easter Sunday, Mr. President. Transvestite Day. Shame on you, Mr. Biden. Take our Resurrection Sunday and merge it together with Transvestite Day, which against the Word of God. Shame on you. Guess what? We get the opportunity to enjoy the benefits of knocking God off. Blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord. not the God of money, not the God of education, not the God of success, not the God of prestige, not the God of abundance of things. So the home got destroyed. We're seeing it today. When a country forgets God, UCE, University of Southern California, has to cancel graduation because they're afraid of what the Hamas crowd is going to do with the Jews. So their answer is, how do we get to that point? We kick God out of our schools. Martin Luther in the 1500s said, the universities and the schools will be the destruction of any country. We've been educating these people for 50 to 80, 90 years, how there is no God. In my lifetime, I remember the day they kicked the Bible out in 1962 and prayer out in 1963. Hey, we never had police on our campuses. We never had parole officers on our campuses. How are we doing? We got rid of God in the schools. How are we doing without no prayer, no Bible? Principal came by our junior high school and said, kids, we're going to dismiss school the rest of the day. He said, our president, John F. Kennedy, was just shot in Dallas, 1963. And the kids, even young men, began to weep, and young girls began to weep and cry. And he said, before you leave, public school right near here, he said, before you leave, you may want to pray. Prayer's outlawed now. We have kicked God out. Sunday used to be a holy day, not a holiday.
Yes, sir.
I grew up 20 minutes from here. And I want to tell you something. On Sunday, you did not go to the grocery store because the grocery stores were not open on Sunday. It's sort of like Chick-fil-A. On Sunday, you did not go to the Flying A gas station, the Mobile gas station, or the Shell gas station because gas stations were not open. The home destroyed. I think of the Ivy League school, Columbia, this week. They discontinued the academic year. Said, well, it's not safe. These kids are going into president's offices and sitting in their offices and taking over and destroying things. Hey, you know what that's called? Lawlessness. We all have the right to oppose and to peacefully protest. You can protest all you want, but you do not have the right to break the law. You break the law, and so they're saying, no more. We don't want the police. How are we doing? The governors and the mayors, the senators that get their house broke into, the first one they call is the police. They're the same ones that said defund them. They're the bad guys. Hey, I'm going to tell you something, friend. If we don't get back to God soon, you will see the destruction of your life and family and home. Your kids will not be safe. It takes place right here. God's house, all over across America, the 385,000 churches in America, that most will be closed tonight. So we get to this next text. And as we look at this next text, it deals with not just the home. Now it deals with the business. The business life and the treatment of an employer and employee, relationships with people. How do you walk in the streets of our city and say, death to the Jews? Kill the Jews! How do you get to that point? I don't want to kill anybody. I don't want to kill Hamas. I want to see Hamas come to know Christ. I don't want to kill anybody. How do you walk in the campuses and how do you go before the Senate and before the House of I prayed at the House of Representatives in Washington, D.C. How do you walk in that sacred place and say we want death to the Jews? That's not even humane. So he deals with business. And he's just showing that when we're not right with God, we cannot be right with man. Look what he talks about. Servants. Verse 22, would you read it with me? verse 22, 23, 24, and 25. Will you read that with me, please? Verse 22, chapter 3, 22. Ready? Begin.
Servants.
In chapter 4, we're talking about servants, and then he says, masters, give to your servants that which is just and equal. Know that ye shall have a master, that ye have a master in heaven. The word servant is the word slave. Don't get alarmed at that word slave, because Paul, throughout all the books he writes, Paul, a servant, a slave of Jesus Christ. In this day, you have to remember, in Colossians' day, one half of the world were slaves. People hired these slaves. It wasn't necessarily abusive. They hired the slaves to, they built them a house, and they lived off the main house, and they would train their children, they would feed their children, they would help train discipline in the church. They would spank or discipline the children. That's what these slaves did for their masters. Now, it has nothing to do with the awful blot on America's history during slavery. That was so sad. How that one part of society treated another part of society like they were inferior. It's never right. It's never right. I was in Alabama, 1969, first time I ever saw it. I grew up here. I never knew that these things were going on. And I went to a gas station on a tour bus I was on, singing, and I saw for the first time in my life, it said colored. And it used to call the black population colored. And it said around the corner was your bathrooms. I trembled. As a young adult, young man, I trembled. I'd never seen that before. I never saw it in my life. I thought, what is this about? How can this be that one group gets the inside one? It was wrong, wrong. By the way, don't make me pray for that wrong, and don't make my parents pay for that wrong. My grandpa, we're not part of any of that. And Christianity was not part of it. The Jews are part of the same, but greater hatred their entire life. Hitler slaughtered 6 million Jews. The world's always hated the Jew. And I'm not in any way advocating that was proper. That wasn't the attitude of these servants, these slaves. Let's interpret the word in modern day, employee, employer. God's going to show us today how to treat your employer and employer, how to treat your employee. I want you to see, as the Bible says in verse 22, servants, if you're an employee, here's your job. Obey. Remember, wives, submit. Husbands, love. Children, obey. Fathers, provoke not. Servants, employee, what's your word? Obey means just do what you're told to do. And I'm going to the HR department. I never grew up with HR. I worked all over this region when I was in high school. And I worked all over the Midwest in 6 years of college and as a staff member, worked all these secular jobs. I never heard of an HR. I guess there might be something good that you have the right to, if something's not right, to complain to someone. But I tell you what, my dad worked a lifetime, my mother worked a lifetime, and they never went to HR. When my dad was working at Montgomery Wards, and they said, we're going to try something as a salesman. We're going to try from 1 o'clock on Sunday to 5 o'clock, we're going to open our stores. Because Montgomery Wards was like a Kmart, which was like a Walmart. Montgomery Wards wasn't open. And my dad said, I can't work. I've given Sunday to God. So I moved over to Sears. And they worked for Sears for all those years. And all of a sudden, Sears said, we're going to keep open from 1 to 5 on Sunday. My dad said, I can't do it. And they said, okay, you're a good salesman. We'll keep you. You don't have to work Sunday. That's the environment we grew up in America right here. Sunday was shut down for God. I'm told that's why even some baseball major league, when they started playing on Sunday, some games ended tied because, you have to look it up for yourself, because on Sunday night you had to get back to church. Now the malls, the museums, the stadiums, everything in life is full and God's place is empty. And how are we doing? Servants obey. Your job, my job, as we're an employee, is to go to work. I can't believe it. COVID happened. And we still have large companies say, please, will you please? No, we're not coming back to work. You're making $100,000, $200,000, $300,000. You have stock options. You have health. And you won't go back to work? We're not going. Like a 3-year-old. And it's okay. Let's try it for 2 days a week. Bunch of sissies. There was a day Mr. Reagan just said, okay, I remember the day. Mr. Reagan, they said, we're the flight controllers and we buy boycott. And he said, if you're not back to work tomorrow, you're done. He fired the whole crowd. And I can remember the news media said, we're going to have plane crashes all over America. We didn't have one. But it got a whole new crowd in there working. If you don't want to go to work, then you go find another job. Eat the center out of donut holes or something. I don't know what you're going to do. But you obey. And you give that employer, if he's paying you for 8 hours, the best employees here should be the people of North Valley Baptist Church. Week from Wednesday, we'll have college graduation. We'll have employers here from all the businesses. And they say, we want Golden State, Brother Oxen. Number one, they show up for work. Number two, they pass the drug test. And number three, they work.
Amen. Amen.
If you don't want to work, government will pay as much to sit home if that's what you want to do. But if a man won't work, he should not eat.
Amen.
I'm having a good time with this today. I'm just saying, don't debate your boss. Don't complain to your boss. Don't murmur about your boss. Work, obey, obey, obey. And not only does he say, obey, servants, but look at verse 22. Servants obey in all things, by the way. Your masters, according to flesh, not with eye service. That means you do it with honesty. Hey, the boss is coming. Let's get busy. No, honest. Boss is coming, put your cell phone down. What are you doing with the cell phone? If it's not for your work, well, I'm checking my fake book. My false book. No. Work! Work! How hard is that to know and be honest? The most honest workers in the Silicon Valley should be the Christians out of this church. And other churches of like faith and practice. He says, I want you to be honest. Not when just someone's watching. The third thing he says, with singleness of heart. With singleness of heart. What does that mean? Put your heart into it. Go to work to work. Work. It's very obvious. He says the fourth thing. Verse 24, knowing, verse 24, that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord. You serve the Lord. How I work toward my employer is a revealer what I think of God. That's why they're having such a problem in the city, because they were serving these little gods. I don't have an employer. I'm self-employed. I'm the pastor of this church. I don't answer to anybody. Wow, that must be a wonderful life. You know what? There are some, other than the fact that God's called me and I love being a pastor, I'd love to have a boss. I'd love to have, when I had bosses, I loved having them tell me what to do. I loved them correcting me. Chuck Wall was my boss on the grocery bill. I loved working for him. In the ice cream store, a guy from IBM bought the ice cream store. I loved working for him. He told me, in the radiator shop where I worked, I hated that job. That guy would swear at me all the time. He'd just swear at me, Jack! And he put every word in there up in Hayward here. And you know what? He was, I just never got the connection of solder. Just never got it good. I could paint real good. Psh, 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 put in the paint booth, take a radiator apart. Oh, he'd swear at me, but he was right. Not what he said, how he said it, but he was right. You know, you keep serving God through your employer, God's going to reward that.
Amen.
That's what he's saying. That's the servant. That's the employee's responsibility. Please hear up in the balconies, in the bleacher seats, down below. Would you please go to work tomorrow and work? Will you put your heart in it? Will you obey? Will you do it not just when the employer's watching or the boss or the supervisor? Will you just work, work, work? So, man, I do that. I'll come home from work tired. Duh. There I go with Greek again. But, employer, what's your responsibility? Look, masters, employers, give. Isn't it amazing that everyone has one word? The servant is to obey. The servant's to be honest. The servant is to have his heart. The servant's to work. But the master's to give. You seek ways to be generous with the people that you employ. And can I tell you, this one's tough for me to preach. Because I'm an employer of about 75 people, plus probably 25 college people that work for us as students in food services and maintenance. So I probably have 100 people. And I'm going to tell you something. And I'm thankful for you, but I hear you make $100,000, $200,000, $300,000. I'm so happy for you. But those school teachers over there started about $25,000. Oh, we give them insurance. Would you come complain to those people are so dedicated. You take these college professors. You take these staff members. I'm to give. As a nonprofit organization, it's so hard and difficult to keep the lights on. This building, the lights, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, three times a week is $10,000 to $15,000 a month. Turn the lights on. Insurance is astronomical. Water bills, after a certain amount, and we have all these 200 dorm ladies over here, 200 dorm men, after every certain amount of gallons, it's 10 cents a gallon. I'm hoping the kids next year don't shower. I'm talking about the fact today, gasoline for our bus is $6 a gallon. Insurance and over the top. Keeping this thing going. I see the trucks come in for food services at the other property, and the big old semis coming in here dropping food off at the. Why can't these kids fast 4 days out of seven? I look at my staff, and I'm supposed to give, and I'm not. Please, I'm not faulting you folks. Let me help you with something. Yes. Somebody needs to buy that corner building. We've got to have it. Somebody's got to buy that back building back there. There's another 100 parking stalls and that long building. We've got to have it. Someone's got to buy that nearly 3 acres down the street for $13 million that has nothing on it. Right? Last 3 acres in the city of Santa Clara. Somebody's got to buy it. But let me tell you what, if I never get that before I die, somebody has got to buy us housing for these people. You know, if you come to teach in the city of Santa Clara for the public schools, they give you housing, plus a full salary, plus a retirement, plus health benefits. Please look at me right here. I say, well, Pastor, when do you want to go looking? I don't want to look. I want somebody to go buy 15 to 20 apartments, condominiums, give them to the church. Here's the title. I paid cash. Pastor, you're going to have to remodel them all. Hey, I got enough men in this church that know how to do it, enough ladies that know how to choose the colors and all that, and that's how to make it secure and say, go across the street from Clyde Avenue, buy that whole unit, all those units there. So, well, they're $1 million a door. I know. I told you I didn't have the money. These people, they pick up second jobs. I don't want it. I don't believe in that. How are they going to live? I'm telling you something. Wait. We're not the only church in America. But I'm going to tell you right now that tens of thousands of people are watching this service right now. And tens of thousands of people come home after their morning services today and this afternoon will watch. And tonight will come home from their church and watch, because somehow, some reason, this church, God has chosen at this point to have an influence on the nation and on the world. You ought to see those emails that are flying across my desk. No, I'm not saying we're more important. Now, I'm probably the least smartest, intelligent pastor in America. You say, well, why are they listening? Because there's a passion in my heart and a love for God. And God's doing something here. When many churches cannot get a choir anymore and cannot find anybody to play the piano, and they cannot run the buses anymore, because after COVID, we don't want, and they said every, I've got, you have a file probably thicker than mine of churches that are paid for with buildings and property and money in the bank. Give us a pastor. Don't have any more to give you. We're training out of our church 50 to 60 a year in Bible college, thrusting them in the Lord's work. But most churches don't send anymore. Somebody just go buy 15 or 20. You can't buy. So I can buy down there and 20 miles away. Can't do that. They got to live right here, 1, 2, 3 miles away. Help me. Somebody should be saying amen right now. You say, well, yeah. I don't have that kind of money, neither do I. And maybe you don't. But there's a God in heaven that would listen to your prayer if we just prayed about it. Preacher called me last week. Say, someone just gave me 200 acres. 20 minutes from my church in the woods. It's a camp. And he said, the man that gave it said, we're going to build all the buildings for you. You won't have to worry about it. Dining, cabins, preaching areas. Don't tell me there's people in America, Fortune 500 companies, 200 of them, all the first 200 have all committed to LGBTQYZ, whatever it is, all of them. This is a little bit more important than LGBTQ, whatever. Amen. Masters, give. Pastors give, and I'm not faulting the church. You're doing the best you can. But we have servants of God here. And there's no telling what God wants to do with and through this church in these last moments. If somebody could help us. I'm begging to you today, on this day, April the 28th, 2024, say, you might be watching, do it. That would have been a good place to say amen. Employers, give to your servants. I think of Sam Walton. He's passed away. Started Walmart. Sam Walton never lived for things, though he was the richest man in America when he died. The second richest person when he died was his wife. And the next four richest people in America was four children. When Sam Walton died, they looked back on his life. I've read his book, the book of his life. They said every morning he'd pull up to the loading docks there with a ball cap on and his blue jeans and his old Ford pickup. But he stopped by the donut shop. And he sat on the loading dock with coffee and donuts with the truck drivers as the trucks were being loaded in the city. I can't remember the city right now. You know it. That little, and they're loading the trucks. He said, now tell me, boys, as you drive your trucks, what are you seeing in our stores? What's going on there? And he got the pulse of Walmart by speaking to his, watch it, I don't mean it this way, inferior employees. But they're not inferior. He treated them with value. And your truckers, God bless you. But I want to know what's going on. What's the attitude? How do we service people? What do you see? What do you see on the road? Sometimes people give you a thumbs up because it's a Walmart truck. Years ago, we were in a building project. And I sold the church car. And the the building project. I needed a car. I didn't have any money for a car. And so I started driving that old, big old Chevy CHP car we bought, a big old thing. It had those bars on the front, you know, push cars. It had the lights up there. I can remember going down 101 on that, in that old car, and people would see me, they'd slow down. Or they'd do different things with their hands. Vile. Or they'd yell. I felt like saying, I'm a preacher. I was driving that truck. You know this story. I was driving that over in Santa Clara near the post office, going to that parking lot. And I'm steering away that big old boat. And the steering wheel fell off into my lap. Man, I just had to direct that. I couldn't move it at all. I sort of wound up in a parking stall like this. They had to come and tow the car. God wants us to give. Amen. And we have such amazing ministry. God said, masters, give to your servants that which is just and equal. In other words, secondly, a master, employer is to be fair. Fair with your employees. And then, if you're turning closing, I'm out of time. Ephesians 6, I have to see this verse. He's dealing with the same subject with the church at Ephesus. Chapter 6, verse 9. And ye masters, do the same things unto them. Watch what he says. Forbearing, threatening. Don't treat your employees with disrespect. You show kindness. Forbearing, threatening. Stop your threatenings. Why, you little peasants? You don't talk to your employees like that. Knowing that your master in heaven, neither is respect to persons with him. I don't mean this rude, but if you have an employee that is missing teeth or not intelligent, whatever, you treat that one with as much value and care as you treat the PhD, the person has doctorate degrees and it's on your staff. You treat everybody with kindness. Talk to everybody. Be kind to everybody. Why are we not a kinder, as George H. Bush said, and I didn't like him as a president, but nonetheless. Why? He said we need a kinder, gentler nation. Why are we not that way? Because we've thrown God out of everything.
Amen.
Everything. And so here he deals with us. Our hate is showing up on the campuses of our schools all over America this week. Our hate is showing up in courtrooms. People run for office, district attorneys, judges where they are, like they run saying, I'm going to throw that man in jail. That's not the job of a judge. A judge to be fair, to listen, not prejudiced against anybody. Listen to what they say. Our campuses, our courtrooms, our governments, our workplaces, our churches, we're not treating one another properly. And I'm coming to you today in closing on behalf of how we treat one another. Don't look down on anybody, regardless of their academic skills, their social skills, their financial skills, their skin color. You don't have the right to look down on anybody, because our Lord did not look down on anybody. We ought to love this world that we live in. I'm so disturbed with Iraq and Iran and with Libya and with these countries of the world and what they're doing. But my prayer is not that God would kill them all. My prayer is that the gospel could get to them.
Amen.
Because he's not willing that any should perish. And if God doesn't want anybody to perish, but you say, well, he died for... No. He didn't die for Christians. He died for those who are enemies, strangers, foreigners, sinners, the Bible said. Of whom I am chief, the Bible said. Let's get along with people. Smile at people. Be kind to people. Hold the door for people. Seek to give to people. As you have the ability, give. If you're an employer, give. Let's stand together, please. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Our Father, your word makes it very clear. This is not, I know some folks will be upset with this thinking, but it's Bible. This is how we're to treat people. Employer, employee. We're to be honest toward our employer with obedience and not murmuring and not doing it, working just in front of them or her just to make a good show. We're to do right as an employee. And then as an employer, we're to give and show justice and kindness. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you need Christ today as your Savior, would you come and let a man show a man and a lady show a lady how to be saved? Would you come in a minute? You'll hear the pianist play. That's your note. That's your tune. That's the time to come. If you're here as a lady to be saved, a lady will show a lady. Folks are already coming. If you're here to follow the Lord in believers' baptism, unite with this church. The pastors are down here at the front. The pianist plays. Will you begin to come all over this house? Would you pray? You're an employee. Would you pray? Let's use the altar and say, I want to be the right employee. I want to be honest and fair and just. If you're the employer, I want to be good to my people. This church has been good. They've allowed us to try to be good to our staff. But I want you to know, they sacrifice to serve us. I cannot tell you, it's the biggest burden I have in my heart for this church right now is to take a load off them. We've got staff members looking for houses right now, our apartments, and it's just, you people online won't understand it. If you can get a house for $4,000 a month rent, that's probably needs some repair. It's so heavy. So heavy. God bless you, dear people. But for some reason, God's planted us here in the Silicon Valley. And I wish you understood the reach that this church has around the globe now. It's always, every day. I needed the singing, and the singing spoke so much to my heart. The great North Valley, the choir song helped me so much this week. That preaching at pastor's conference, those messages, the testimonies of those different people that got saved, those singers that sang. It's all the day, all the time. Brother Morey could tell you, it just floods us. Overwhelming how many people respond. This church is needed by me and by my wife and by you, but it's needed by the world right now. That's not arrogancy. The man who was afraid to be a preacher, I never studied for that because I knew I couldn't do it. So I'm not boasting on my behalf, please. Are you saved? We have folks that have come for baptism. And a brand new Brazilian class have been saved not long ago and want to follow the Lord today. Father, bless these dear, dear people. May every high school student that gets a job this summer, every college student here and around the globe to get a job this summer, every church member that's working a job, may we give it our best. May we be the model example of a good employee. May we not create drama, mood swings. May we come in and bring cheer and joy and smiles and happiness to the people we work with. As I'm praying, the bus workers can be dismissed right now. God bless these dear, dear people. We see in Colossae how they were destroyed. How it's just, it's all sand now. It's all covered over. That great city, they gave themselves over to the gods and they destroyed their lives. They destroyed their homes. Now they're destroying their businesses. Sounds like America. Bless these dear people. Give us a week where we live for thee is my prayer. For I ask this prayer in the name which is above every name, the name of Jesus. Amen. I went a little long today. Bus kids, be bus teenagers, God bless you. And I need to meet with all those workers here in a few weeks. We just have a few of you up there, but I thank God for you. I want to meet with all of you that claim to be a worker. You're going to have to be in Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night. Wednesday night is the idea. And I appreciate you that are there and those kids. They listen so great. God bless you. Well, we're going to baptize. I'd like to just wait a moment if we can. I believe we have a husband and wife, maybe more, that have trusted Christ in our Brazilian ministry. My goodness, God's given us an Indian ministry, a Spanish ministry, a Filipino ministry, a Chinese ministry, meeting off the property, but a large, good ministry there, a Brazilian ministry, and I thank God for it, and others. A Korean ministry. My goodness, God's good.
Amen.
And I thank God for baptism. It shows that we believe Jesus died on a cross. He was buried and he rose again. As we baptize both properties today, if we baptize under 18, we always do it with permission of our parents.
Pastor, it's going to be just a minute. We have a Brazilian couple, and we have one ready and not the other. I apologize. So
that's
one's
okay.
Waiting
we'll,
on the other.
We'll
so.
Wait a minute. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus.
No turning back.
No turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me.
No turning back.
One more stanza, the no one joined me, shall I follow?
No one joined me, shall I follow?
No, no one joined me, shall I follow?
No, no one joined me, shall I follow?
As he plays that song, we're almost ready. I want to watch this with you. Tonight, 6 o'clock. Sunday night, such a great service. I really believe God gave me something for tonight. And then Wednesday night, it's not 6 o'clock like it is tonight. It's 6:30. Get off work, fly in here. It's about a 70-minute service on Wednesday night, sometimes 65. And the kids have their programs. And then a week from Wednesday is college graduation. This place will be packed. Preachers will be here. Parents will be here from around the world. We thank God for our brother and Mrs. Alvis, Brother Thiago and his wife. God bless you. You have an interpreter there? There's a good family.
What's that?
Roberta and Pedro.
I'm sorry, and Pedro. Forgive me. And we're interpreting back here, so I've never done this before. I've preached with an interpreter. I've never baptized with an interpreter.
That's okay, Ralph.
All right. Pedro, have you asked Jesus to be your Savior?
Yeah.
Upon your profession of faith, in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection.
Yes. Pedro's a good man. He's
Pedro
a blessing.
Just accepted Christ as his Savior just a few moments ago. This is his wife, Roberta. Roberta, have you asked Jesus to be your Savior? Upon your profession of faith, in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection.
You know, I have no idea what to do. That class had 25 this morning. They've outgrown the room. I don't have a bigger room to give them. Oh, we need buildings. You say, well, Pastor, we got over 250,000 square feet of building space. We got a lot. We have a lot of building space, all these buildings, but they're packed. I wonder what would happen if someone would build us a $10 million educational building. Don't have it. Oh, but God does. And if you're watching and he's ringing your doorbell, let's get the building built. So we can reach all these nationalities. We need right now about 250-seat auditoriums for adults. We need Sunday school. The gym is filled with a dozen plus, sitting on the bleachers trying to teach Sunday school, all 12 teachers at the same time. The other property, same thing. I'm not saying discouraging. Something's happening, folks. And we need space. And we need living space. I see you at the door, Lord willing. God bless you. When I pass your row, you'll be dismissed.